This episode of What the Tech is brought to you by Simple Contacts, an easy and convenient way to renew your contact lens prescription or reorder your contacts from anywhere within minutes. Get $30 off your contact lenses by visiting simplecontacts.com/Andrew and entering the promo code Andrew. Slack is a messaging app which brings together all your team's communication into one place, making work simpler and more productive. Go to slack.com to learn more. TextExpander helps you communicate smarter. Visit textexpander.com/podcast for 20% off your first year. Everybody, welcome to What the Tech. I'm Andrew Zane. Of course, I'm joined by the one, the only, Mr. Paul Thrott. How you doing, Paul?
Pretty good.
Pretty good. We sit in silence. Do you hear anything
when that's happening? It's a little weird.
No? You don't hear anything, right?
No.
Yeah, so everybody could hear it except for us, because we've kind of patched this to work the way that it's supposed to work. But who cares? We're live. We're on. And this is our best of 2017 show. This is the annual show that we do where we talk about all the things that we liked in 2017 when it relates to tech. It could be a website, it could be software, it could be hardware, it could be just advances in technology, it could be a number of things. And you know what? I think 2017 was a pretty good year.
Yeah, for tech.
For tech, yeah, for mean, tech. Life, no, not so much. But tech, yes. There was a lot of bigger changes than I think a lot of people think. And this kind of leads into 2018. This is going to lead into the discussion we're going to have for our prediction show for 2018. And that's going to be, you know, going forward, what happens to the PC market? What happens to the tablet market? What happens to the phone market even? Because things are changing rapidly. Right. And I think it's about time, right? I met up with Chris Tobin yesterday. Just a little sidebar here. I met up with Chris Tobin and one of our viewers, Jim, yesterday. And we were at Rattle and Hum. And we were talking about, you know, just evolutionary versus revolutionary, right? And one of the guys that we were talking to, there was, you know, random guy at a bar, he was talking about how nothing is changing, it's all the same now. And I said, yeah, because it's always like that, actually. We got spoiled.
Oh, I don't know.
Because we had an iPad and an iPhone and all this stuff happening, and every, you know, the light was shining on this new platform, this new ecosystem, that there were constant changes and constantly new things happening. Now we're in this period of, you know, it's just getting better and better and better.
I think of 2017 as kind of a transitionary year, because if you look at any market, if you want to look at phones, you could look at tablets, you could look at computers, smart home type stuff as well. We're kind of in the middle of a transition to things. You know, on the Windows side, we see Windows moving to ARM-based hardware, which didn't happen in 2017, but it's kind of on the way. We saw Intel moving to quad-core processors for mainstream laptops, which is kind of incredible. You see the new type of smartphones that everyone's making, these kind of 18x9, really tall, thin designs. Yeah. And I like these kinds of changes, because when you look at mature products, product lines or whatever, you know, you typically think, well, you know, where are we going to go next? There's really not much you can do here. That was always the argument with products like Microsoft Office, where it was like, you know, we get it. You have a word processor. I mean, what are you going to do for the next version? Like, it's just incremental, right? But, you know, every once in a while, you can make these big changes that really impacts everything. And I think we're seeing that. Like, we see some of that occurring across the board here.
Yeah, absolutely. I do want to continue this, and to start off, I want to talk about something. You talk about changes and talk about advances in technology. These guys are unbelievable. I'm talking about Simple Contacts. They're advertising with us, but I'm a customer of theirs, which is really funny when that happens. I've been using Simple Contacts for not too long, about 3 months now. So here's the process for me. Okay, I have a terrible time committing to things, like going to the doctor's office or going to the dentist or going to the eye doctor. Now, for the big things, obviously, you have to go for your yearly checkup. You have to make sure everything is okay. But small things like Andrew losing his prescription for the contact lenses that he has, and not being able to get it and having to go to another doctor and trying to do it as an emergency because I keep everything at the last minute, those things could be avoided. And Simple Contacts is a great way of avoiding all that nonsense. You know, I have terrible vision, by the way. I've been wearing contact lenses. Paul, when was the first time you bought contact lenses?
Well, I mean, I've had glasses since I was in the third grade, and I switched to contacts in the summer between, I think it was the 11th and 12th grade, or maybe the 10th and 11th grade.
Oh, so you were, I mean, fairly young.
Yeah.
Yeah, so yeah. I was in 7th grade.
Right.
When I remember I begged my mother to get me contacts because I used to play basketball, and, you know, at the time, everybody was wearing those frilly little glasses, and what am I going to be, like Horace Grant? With these big giant, you know, things on my head.
Sure.
So I begged my mother to get me contacts. And I remember going and getting it fitted and everything like that. But now, you know, we're talking 20 something years later. It's gotten so convenient. With Simple Contacts, all you need, you don't even need to leave your home. You could do your eye exam online. You follow the steps. They do your eye exam online. You follow the steps for that. The eye exam is just $30. So way, way better than most places. They also offer free shipping on them. So the best of all, for our listeners, you get $30 off your first pair, for your first order at Simple Contacts by going to simplecontacts.com/Andrew, and you can enter in the promo code Andrew at checkout. That's simplecontacts.com/Andrew. You could use the promo code at checkout. Also, HSA, health savings account dollars may be used with Simple Contacts before the dollars expire at the end of the year. And obviously, this does not qualify as your yearly checkup. So this is a great way to save money, great way to provide you with the convenience of buying the contact lenses online, and it's a huge time saver, and you don't have to go anywhere. Also, safety-wise, these are licensed people that review your eye exam. This isn't just, you know, some guy. It's not Paul Thurrott sitting there and be like, yeah, okay, let me give him a contact lens. That's how I always imagine factory, you know? Yeah, okay.
The guy
he looks like a good guy. Okay, I'll just hit yes. No, this is an actual process. See, I made a boo-boo the first two times when I did it, and they said, you know, please take it again because you didn't follow the steps properly. So this is super easy. It took me, honestly, 5 minutes to do it once I did it. It's awesome. SimpleContacts.com/Andrew. I want to thank them for supporting What the Tech. I got my brother to order a pair because he was complaining that he does not want to walk to the eye doctor because he...
Yeah, no, he definitely needs to exercise less.
Yeah, yeah, of course. Yeah, of course. Yeah. It's incredible. So, Paul, let's begin because...
Yes.
I'm trying to find out... Actually, I want to go and find out what our predictions were before the prediction show. For last year and the year before, because I'm curious if we were right or wrong on stuff.
Yeah.
Obviously, well, we're going to talk about the best of, and I'm sure we'll go into worst of also, because there's some cross sections here. Let's start off with the iPhone. The iPhone 10. I'm putting this in the best of category.
Yeah,
because I am too. If you look at, let's forget about all the hoopla with the iPhone, about how they release an iPhone 8 and an iPhone 10 at this, you know, approximately the same release time. You know, we still have this giant phone. Now we have a smaller version. Plus we have the small version. It's getting a little convoluted, but the iPhone 10 itself is a very nice looking phone. It's much smaller than the previous, you know, this version of the iPhone. And I just think it's an overall great step in the right direction. Now there are issues like the notch. Other than the notch, would we be complaining about the phone?
Yeah. The one thing I would complain about is the Face ID stuff. And it's not that it doesn't work well for facial recognition. I mean, actually, within the confines of that kind of thing, it works well. It's just the need for it all the time and the extra step it takes. One of the things I did last weekend, we went out to Bethlehem, Pennsylvania, which is like a big Christmas celebration thing they do. It's like Christmas City, USA out there or whatever. And I thought this will be an interesting opportunity to test the low light performance of the camera compared to the Google Pixel 2 XL, which excels in that area. And it was tedious. You know, if you imagine like the process. So I've got a phone in each pocket, and I see something I want to take a picture of. So, you know, I take it out. And the Google phone, you know, because there's a fingerprint reader on the back, it comes to life immediately. You just naturally holding it, it just comes to life.
You're saying you're doing this.
Yeah, very natural. It's very natural. With the iPhone, you have to take it out, look at it. You wait for the little lock to unlock. Then you swipe up, you know, and it's on the camera app because I've already used it. But it's like this additional set of steps and like the goofiness of this and then, you know, is I found it to be more and more annoying as the night went on.
So, you know? I mean, here's the iPhone 7, right? Mm-hmm. 7 Plus. Here's how you do it. Let's unlock this real quick. So I take it out of my pocket.
Yep.
And I put my finger on it. There you go. Unlocked.
Yeah. And if the camera app was already running, because it would have been if you're taking a bunch of pictures, you go right to the camera app that way, right? Now, I mean, look, actually, I should say, to be fair, there are shortcuts to get to the camera app, right? You don't have to unlock the phone to do that. Yeah. This is, to me, what I'm doing is replicating normal use. In other words, you're out in the world, you take your phone out, you want to do something with it. And you have to, you know, the goofiness of that I found to be annoying, you know. And so, whatever. I mean, it's for this kind of technology. It's definitely one of the better ones in terms of performance. I really wish there was a fingerprint reader on the back of this thing. I really do.
And by the way, I really think that they are going to add a fingerprint reader eventually.
They claim they're not.
Or come up with a better way. I mean, the reality is I've seen the facial recognition work, but it's awkward because you got to do this.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes you don't want to.
Look, it's better than I've used on any phone, for sure.
Absolutely.
There's no doubt about it.
Do you think it's better than Hello? Windows Hello?
No, but I want to kind of clarify that in a sense.
Because Windows Hello is remarkably fast.
Yes. Windows Hello on Windows phones is terrible. Okay, so
Windows phone?
Well, I know, my earliest experience with this kind of thing was with Windows phones, and I never used it because it was so terrible. Because every time I tried it, it was like, here we go again. Because you would do this thing where you'd move the phone around trying to find the exact right angle. So one of the things that Windows Hello is very good at on computers is handling if you're off, you know, center. And that's one of the things that the iPhone does pretty well. You don't have to bring it up. I'm exaggerating to make a point. I mean, you do have to bring it up. It has to see you or whatever. So, but it can be down here. It can be over here a little bit. I don't find myself doing this. That's something I did all the time with Windows Phone. I hated that. It is better. But the problem is, and I'm sure there's a great explanation for why this works this way, but you doing the face thing doesn't unlock. Well, it unlocks it, but then you still have to swipe up on the screen. It's that additional step where it's like, oh, come on, just like go to the damn thing. Like it's a little tedious.
Little by little. 2018, hopefully the next version will have a lot of improvements in that. By the way, I kind of wanted to touch on this, and I really was hoping to talk about this Apple story, two Apple stories this week. Mm-hmm. One being that they kind of finally got caught slowing down hardware, which we've been talking about for years and years and years.
Oh, yeah.
That they purposely slow down older hardware and their excuses for better battery life. But,
I think it's fair to say any normal human being would take exception to
maybe,
what they're doing.
Okay. I get it. Yeah. Maybe. Yeah. But it's more of a discussion to have not about the phone and not about the tablet, but do they do this to their laptops?
Computers, I know. That's a good question. I don't know.
Because if they do, that's a big problem, if that's the case.
Yep. Here's the good news. I disagree with what Apple's doing. Who cares? But the good news is it's not expensive to replace an iPhone battery. And that's the one little silver lining is you would assume
you're going with the argument that if they do it for devices that the battery is not functioning properly.
No. No, what I mean by that is if you notice over time that the performance of your iPhone goes down, which you will, because they do.
Yeah.
You can monitor it, right? You can use a benchmarking app and see what the actual score is. And if it goes below some threshold, 20% or whatever. You have an option, which is just replace the battery, because then it will go right back to where it was.
Your theory, you broke me for a second, because you're saying that if there's a problem with the battery, right?
No,
it'll slow down.
I'm not saying if there's a problem with the battery. What I'm saying is the battery over time loses its capacity.
Its charge. Yeah. So Apple is looking at that and saying, oh, it's lost 40% capacity, so we're going to slow this device down.
It's actually a much smaller number than that, by the way, which is the problem. Yes. In other words, what they're shooting for, apparently, is the battery life. In other words, you get a phone on day one, and it has some amount of battery life in normal usage, and it has some amount of performance. I don't know what to call it, like a score. Over time, the battery is going to degrade. That's what happens to batteries,
That's
right?
That's how it is.
It's going to happen. So the decision is we could keep the performance at the same level, which means they would do nothing to the software, or we could change the system so that as the battery degrades, we actually degrade the performance so that the battery life is what remains consistent with that day one condition.
I'm going to tell you, I find that so hokey and not the real reason why they do it.
Okay. I got to be honest. I kind of don't care because Apple, this is such an Apple decision. It's such Apple knows better than us and they'll make the decisions and there's no way you're getting an option to choose how you want it to behave. Sorry, we know better than you. And that's, look, I said that cynically, obviously, because I disagree with it. But there is also a case to be made because, frankly, the Android solution to this problem, the Microsoft solution to this problem would be a giant settings interface with all kinds of sliders. And you could go from app to app and say, well, I'm going to let this one use the battery more because it's a game or, you know, or whatever it is. And, you know, who needs that complexity, right? I was talking to Brad about this topic today. You know, he mentioned, by the way, that Windows 10 has a slider. When you click on the battery in the tray, there's a slider in it, and it says performance, or better performance on one side and better battery on the other. And by default, it's kind of in the middle.
Yeah.
And if one of those things matters to you, you can play with it. Sure. So that proves two things. One is that the existence of that slider doesn't impact most people, right? If you don't want to use it, you just leave it alone. It doesn't matter. But also I feel that most people don't use it.
Yeah.
It actually doesn't matter, you know, so, but at least it's there for the people who do want it. You know?
Yeah, I don't know. I'm curious if that's the case with other hardware. Because so technically, if you have that device plugged in, right? Let's say you have it plugged into a charger. Will your experience be slowed down still? Or will it recognize that it's connected and the performance goes up? I don't think the performance goes up.
Actually, I don't know. But, you know, I don't care because, frankly, I'm not going to plug in a phone so I can get the best performance. Like, that's ludicrous.
That's not how you use it?
No.
You don't want to tether it to one of these bricks?
No, the point of the device is that it's untethered.
Yeah.
You know, that is the point.
Yeah. Very interesting. But before we get distracted, let's continue with our list.
Yes.
Pixel 2 XL, which you own and love.
I do, but I got to be honest, I can't put it on the list of the best of the year because there's just too many problems with it.
Okay, so... So talk about it. What do you like and what don't you like?
Yeah, the picture quality is outstanding. It is literally the best smartphone camera available anywhere. I know that there was some debate over the DxOMark scores between this and the iPhone 10. Having compared them side by side, the Pixel is the superior camera. There's no doubt about it. And that's pretty much the end of it. So, I mean, I like it's got the form factor. I like 18:9 tall screen and all that. It's not one of the more elegant devices. It's not particularly nice looking or anything like that. There are issues with the display, which is very hard to see out in the sun, like really hard to see, notably worse than most of my other phones.
Interesting.
Okay. That's bad. And it's a problem when you're taking pictures. So, you know, I was joking with Brad when we were in Hawaii that, you know, we were outside on a beautiful sunny day and I'm taking a picture and I said, I can't even see what I'm taking a picture of, but I know that when I see the photo, it's going to be gorgeous because this thing takes amazing photos. I just can't see it through the viewfinder. Like, you literally couldn't see it. There are a bunch of problems that other people have reported that I haven't experienced yet or won't, hopefully. You know, things like the screen burn-in issue and so forth. But the other issue I have experienced is problems with the USB-C to headphone adapter.
It doesn't work sometimes.
Yeah, it doesn't work sometimes. That's absolutely true. I've experienced that. And I sort of assumed it was me. I bought another one and I have problems with that one too. So I don't, you know, I'll be on a plane listening to a podcast and I'll move and something about the movement of the thing, there's a huge like a really loud sound and then I don't hear anything. I've gone to listen to a podcast actually on a plane as well or whatever, an audiobook, and I can only really dimly hear it. I'm kind of looking around like, why can't I hear that better? And it's because it's coming out of the phone speakers. even though I'm plugged in with the jack. So there's just a litany of problems with it that I've either experienced firsthand, just in a few cases, but a much longer list that other people have experienced and reported that I can't discount it. I mean, It's just, it's unfortunate. I wanted to love this phone. I still, by the way, for whatever it's worth, it is my phone. It's the phone I use. I've chosen that. I still am going to use it. And the primary reason is the camera. You know, it's not a huge deal. Like if I were to use like the OnePlus 5T, which is a great value, or the iPhone 10, which is a great phone. You know, I was out in the world and I could take pictures, and those pictures would be very good. I mean, they would, and particularly with the iPhone, but with both of them, I'm not losing too much. But if I were to go on a trip or something, I would always want to have this camera. Like I would never go away to 2 weeks in Europe or something and not use this. Like I would give up my phone number and all that stuff just to be able to do that. But I am sticking with it for now. But, you know, we talked last week about, I think, Mint Sim, right? And I've since used that.
Oh, I ordered mine.
So I've got that in the iPhone. I could picture switching to Mint Sim, you know?
Yeah.
Over Google Fi, Project Fi. I mean, it would be less expensive. I would have to switch on Project Fi when I went away to Europe because that's when it really makes sense. I'm getting off track too, so sorry about that. Anyway,
no worries.
I am going to use it. I cannot remember. I just can't recommend it to other people. It's a strange thing to say, but I like it a lot in some ways. But I can't tell you to buy it. You know, it's just a weird.
I'm trying to find out where my Mint Sim is. I have not gotten one. When you ordered, so it says it was shipped.
It took a little while. I got mine on Saturday.
And when? How long?
It almost took a week. I bet it was. It took longer than I thought. In fact, I had come downstairs.
It was shipped on the 19th, 2021. Okay, so maybe today. Maybe I'll get it today.
Yeah, you'll get it soon.
Yeah. Which I want to do a review of that. And
what are you going to use it in?
I don't know. I don't know what I have. I got to see what GSM-based, you know. Well, I could.
Well,
use
you
it
can
on.
You can go to their site and put in your IMEI numbers, and you'll see exactly what the support is.
Because so. I don't know if it'll work with. So I have a couple iPhones here I could use it on, or I could use it on my S6, too, with that. I have a couple devices I could probably do it with. If anything, I could buy. I mean, I could always buy a phone.
Might be one of the best things of 2017. I haven't used it enough to be sure. But
that's why I wanted to get it, and I didn't get it in time. So,
so I should say, since we're on this topic, and I'll slowly unlock my iPhone so I can go look at this. Since signing up for the service, I followed the instructions on the website. You have to go in and configure some settings under cellular settings on the iPhone, and you have to do that on Android too, but I have it on the iPhone. And you kind of type in these URLs and these whatever these values are. And so I did all that stuff. And what that does is it enables multimedia messaging and also group messaging. Okay, fine. You restart your phone, it works fine. So the Mint Sim guys text you, and they explain what your plan is, and then they send a text explaining that stuff you have to enter in the settings, which I had already done. And then they text you again, and it says, you know, for easy plan management, go to this address on the web and blah, blah, blah. Or you can SMS to this address, and this is really great. And then they text you again, and they're like, hey, follow the instructions in our next message to set up your data settings. And I'm like, I already did that. And then it's like, hey, welcome to Mint Sim. Your phone number is whatever it is. Here are the instructions again. And I'm like, I've already done that. I don't know why you keep sending it. And then like another day goes by, and it's like, do you need help configuring your data settings? Visit this. And it's like, guys, I have configured this stuff. Stop.
Yeah, leave me alone.
They've texted me like every day for the past week. So this morning, they texted me again. It says, remember, use Wi-Fi whenever possible to get the most out of your smartphone. Go to settings at any time to make sure your phone's Wi-Fi is switched on.
Oh, my God.
So I responded with stop because I don't know. I mean, just as a guess, like maybe that's one of the things they'll listen to.
Maybe it didn't register. Like that you actually did it. That's interesting.
So they responded to my stop request. Okay, it says, your request has been canceled. And like, so I don't know what my request was, but I was nervous. Maybe they were canceling my service or something.
Yeah.
So I went to the Mint Sim website, and it was fine. Everything was fine. I'm like, okay, cool. Then I got an email from Mint Sim, and it said, actually, I should just find it. It's maybe it'd be easier because it's, I really searched my mind to think if there was any way I could have ever done this. But it's, this is what it says. Hi, Paul. Your plan is now set up for auto renewal. Smart move. We'll take care of all that pesky renewal stuff from here on out. Like, I literally did not set it up for auto renewal. In fact, I very specifically visited that part of the site and set it to not all auto renew. Because remember, this is a 3-month plan, but we're getting 6 months because 3 months are for free. So this thing actually doesn't renew until June 2018. It's a long ways away. So I'm not, I don't want to, it's not a big deal. I mean, I want to, they're going to remind me, obviously. So I'm not going to worry about it. I don't want to set it up for auto renew.
Oh my God. That's
awesome. I don't know how it happened. So there's a little, I mean, I'm not saying it's, you know, something bad happened exactly, but
something happened, something broke.
Something happened. Yeah, yeah, for sure.
You know, I got a question. So I got a, I got to find this thing. I got a, I got just a gift from GDGT Deals. Okay.
Okay.
It was like a Black Friday thing, and it was this multi-lens photo like adapter for the iPhone, but it also had an LED light on top. And I have a friend that has this, and he had spent like $100 on it, and I got it for like $30, you know, for Black Friday. Yep. And it never, it, I can't, I have no idea where it is. I just looked at it. It says expected delivery time was originally November 16th, and then it got changed to December 16th, and we're at December 21st, and I still do not have it.
You didn't need that for Christmas, did you?
Yeah. It's part of part of a gift for her.
Yep.
Yeah, I don't know. I have no idea where it is, guys. So maybe you guys should, you know, figure your shit out. That's all I'm saying.
Yep.
All right, so let's continue. You know what? Actually, for a phone, I'm on my list, the Note 8.
Yeah, I would add all the Samsung
flagships. By default, they should have been on the list because of the Note 7.
Okay, fair enough. But I mean, I also would give Samsung some credit across the board. If you look at the S8 and the S8 Plus and then the Note 8, which is slightly, they're all beautiful. And not only did they kind of invent this new form factor, at least they were basically first. I realize they weren't literally first, but they've kind of formalized it as the new standard. They kind of exceed what other companies are doing, including Apple or Google or OnePlus or whoever, by curving the screen over both sides. And it's a real differentiator. It's I think it's beautiful. Like, it's sort of like an infinity pool effect almost. And they do some fairly decent things with the side edges, which are unique to those devices as well. So I think they do a good job.
Yeah. No, I don't want to dwell on it because we've spoken about it so much, but I was very, very happy with it. No, but the S9 is going to be probably announced in February, or it's going to come out late February, around that time, early March, late February. And I'm very interested in that because I, shockingly, for the first time ever, I stuck with this phone. I stuck with a phone for a year.
Right.
And I thought the S7 was terrible.
The S7. Okay. Yeah,
Samsung S7.
Yeah. Had a great camera.
Had a great camera, but terrible performance. I mean, actually, you want to talk about slowdown. This thing is almost unusable. It's gotten so slow. With wipes and everything, you know, this is also part of the Android experience, you know, but...
Oh, yeah. No, we should mention, because we did talk about Apple, that performance rot, which is how I kind of think of it...
Yeah, the very good...
...is
very
a
good
huge
term.
Problem. Huge problem on Android. And if you're feeling smug about, you know, a new version of iOS comes out and your old iPhone gets slower, ha ha ha, I don't have that problem because I have Android. It's true. You don't have that problem. You don't get new versions of Android, but you still suffer from performance rot. It's a very real problem. This is something I've experienced on all my Android devices, and it was particularly problematic on my previous Pixel XL. It got bad so fast every time. And I hard reset this thing in a way that requires you to use command line developer tools, and it's something a normal consumer would never do. It happened every time. It's a serious problem.
Yeah, big time.
Yep,
big time. Let's see what else we have. Actually, before we continue, I want to take a moment. I want to talk about our sponsor, and that's Slack. Paul, this is not for slackers. Slack is a messaging app which brings all your team's communication together, brings your team together, brings the communication together, giving everyone a shared workspace for conversation, and it organizes everything, and it's easily accessible for everybody. There's over 1,000 apps that integrate easily with Slack. Some of them you've heard of, like Salesforce, Zendesk, and Google Drive. I use Slack in my company. So the big problem was communication. There are different departments, and everybody's in charge of something else. And then we have our once-a-week meeting. We have a conversation about things, about how we're doing things as a crossover, and everybody forgets. And Friday comes or Monday comes, and I get messages saying, hey, Andrew, do you have that image, or what's this promotion? Since I started implementing Slack, it's made everything easier. So I've set up different types of chats, and then I have one universal chat. So I send out a message every Monday to everybody, giving them a rundown of everything for the week. It's phenomenal how easy it works. The integration is easy. And this is something that anybody should try. Small business, large business, if you're in charge of communications at your company, this is something definitely look into. And here's the great thing. You go to slack.com and you can find out why I'm saying all these things, because it's phenomenal. It's actually amazing when you find a company that works well. Also, the company works well, like the app works well, everything works well with them. You could drag and drop files, for example. That's generally how I do it. I just put all the images for the week for promotional stuff, and I say, here you go, guys. Go crazy. Do whatever you need to do. Also, with mobile apps for iOS and Android, and syncing is essentially seamless, you could just pick up where you left off, depending on the device that you're on, so it makes it super easy. Slack, where work happens. Find out more at slack.com. Oh, Paul. Let's go with my big pick this year. This is going to be my big one. And then I have two more that's a kind of a category, and we're going to see a shift in this year that I'm going to predict a little bit. The new Intel chipsets, the 8th-gen chipset.
Yeah, huge.
This is huge.
Yep.
Why is it huge, Paul?
Because it is an automatic and tremendous performance improvement over the previous gen chips, thanks to there being four cores across the board instead of two, and without any battery life hit. And this is something that's going to start coming up in my reviews. I've got a Surface Book 2 review I'm working on where I can compare it to the previous gen version, which is actually two gens ago, but, you know, as far as chips go. I have an HP Spectre, which is that white and gold machine that you're interested in. Again, quad core to dual core. I have the dual core version here as well. I can test those head to head. And I also, actually, it's not an HP, it's a Spectre, what is it called? No, it's an Envy laptop. Same thing. And also a Yoga 920, which I haven't written about yet. Again, same thing, just quad core goodness. So I can compare these things head to head, and it's legitimate real world wonderfulness. I mean, it's, I don't want to call it a game changer, but I mean, you know, every year, Intel gives us a new set of chips, and they usually in the past have had dual core and quad core chips of different types. But the mainstream laptop U series chips have always been dual core, and now they're quad. And the 8th generation, you know, it's funny, when they first announced this, I was kind of down on it. But now that I can see what they're doing, it's good stuff.
Yeah, no, it's a huge, huge, huge improvement over the previous generation. And I think a lot of people don't realize that they're buying an i7. But it's not, it doesn't matter. It's a dual core.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, the reality, what's the point, right?
Yep.
But with the new chipsets, I mean, these things are blazing fast. There's no difference anymore, because you don't have to get a 15-inch monitor.
Right.
You could buy a 13-inch monitor and have...
Yeah, you don't have to buy a very expensive high-end supercomputer to get sort of a portable workstation style of performance.
Yeah.
It's incredible. It's going to change a lot of computers. You know, like if you look at Microsoft's current gen products, which were all released this year, the new Surface Pro, the Surface Laptop, well, actually, except for the Surface Book, which actually does have this, they only have the dual core parts from before. Just revving those to the new chipset would be the most incredible. It would literally, I think, be a 40% performance improvement.
So while we're doing this, someone sent me a link and said, why don't you look here? And it says the order status, order received. All it says,
this is
expected delivery time,
oh,
December 13th,
yeah,
December 16th. Yeah. So, no, I'm very, very, you know what I want to get, actually? I actually do want to get, did you get a new MacBook or no?
No, not yet. So the issue there is that, I remember I bought a 15-inch version. Yeah. This is kind of a goofy thing to say. I have unique needs for sure, but as a reviewer, but I want to get a version that has the touch bar.
Yeah, no, you can get that on the 13.
No, I know that. The problem is I'm going to buy it refurbished. I'm not going to pay new MacBook prices. So, just cracked the dog in the skull with my elbow.
Wait a minute, you have a dog?
Yes, I do. She made a horrible coconut sound. I forgot what I was saying. Anyway, when I've looked at the refurbished page on Apple.com, they haven't had the exact one I'm looking for. Because there are 2016 and 2017 versions. I want to make sure I get the newer version. What I basically want is the lowest end 13-inch that has a touch bar from this year. And each time I look, it's not there. But as soon as it is, I'll grab it.
Yeah, yeah. That makes sense. Surface laptop, Paul.
Yeah, so this is, again, dual core chip, going back to the thing we just talked about. But there's all these logical arguments you could make against the Surface laptop. There's no doubt about it. It only has one USB port, and it's old school 3.0 style. It has a mini display port for video out. It has Surface Connect, which is USB based for power. It has a headphone jack, and that's it. That's all of the expansion. This computer is so beautiful and so wonderful to use and to hold. You can't take it anywhere without people asking you about it. Even members of my own family who are used to this constant cavalcade of devices coming through the house. My daughter and my wife have both asked about it. It's beautiful. And it doesn't make sense on paper, right? I could explain to you why this doesn't make sense, why you should buy this other thing instead. But then I look at it and I think, I don't care. I want this thing. And there are things about it that are great too. I mean, the 3x2 13.5-inch display is amazing. The keyboard typing experience and touchpad, which is a precision touchpad, amazing. I really like the Alcantara fabric that's on the top of it, the color availability. They do a really nice job of matching the color between the anodized aluminum body,
the
Alcantara, and the keys. Beautiful, the glass touchpad as well.
I saw the first one in beautiful. Public the other day, and I've seen it, I've held it, I've used it, but I was watching a guy just use it, and I was looking at it, I'm like, man, this is such a beautiful little thin device.
Yeah, yep. Yeah, it's a good size. Like we talked about how Apple should make a 14-inch MacBook Pro, right, and just skip the other two. It's like 13's a little too small. 15 is too big. 14 would be perfect. 13.5 is pretty close, right? There's something about the 3.2 aspect ratio. The net effect is it makes the screen a little taller, I guess is the way to think of it. So instead of like a 16x9, it's not quite square, but it kind of looks square. And I think for productivity work personally, I find it to be a much better aspect ratio or whatever. So
yeah,
it's beautiful.
Yeah, no, it's absolutely beautiful. You know what the only problem is? I wish that device came out like 3 years ago.
Yeah. Well, I also wish they had a quad core version that, I wish it had two USB ports. I wish it had USB-C and Thunderbolt 3. There's all kinds of things. But even given all that stuff, it's kind of tough because, listen, I've reviewed, I should probably do a recap of all the devices I've looked at this year. There's been a lot of them.
You really should. I mean, do you have like a best of list on the website?
Not for devices, but I'm thinking, I was literally thinking about doing that. But I mean, off the top of my head, I can say things like, the ThinkPad X1 Carbon, classic, beautiful computer. The X1 Yoga, amazing as well. Someone is banging on the outside of my house. Or maybe it's the dog. I can't tell. Anyway.
It can be both.
The Dell XPS 15, which is unique in some ways. A bunch of HP machines. The Spectre X360 in both 13 and 15-inch sizes, which they just revved. The new Spectre, the HP Envy laptop is amazing. And then there's some desktop computers, some of which I haven't even written about. But the 34-inch or 32-inch curved all-in-one HP, which is an astonishingly good computer. They're all great. Everything I just said was all of those are great. Surface Book 2, fantastic. Surface Pro, the new one, awesome.
Yeah.
There's just something about this thing. You can't explain attraction, right?
No, you're absolutely right.
You can't. It's like anything. I don't know. Why do you like chocolate? I don't know. or why, I can't really say why. I just know when I like it.
Something I had on the list, and I put it there because I wanted to bring it up, and that's Does anybody remember that they announced a 10.5-inch iPad Pro?
Well, I remember because I use it every single day.
Yeah, okay, but I have to tell you, I have not seen any of these ever in public. Right. I don't know anybody that has one.
Well, you do, but you don't count.
But you don't count.
I don't count, but I also don't use it as an iPad Pro, right?
Yeah, you don't use it.
I do not use it as a computer. It's not a computer. It falls very short, I think. And that's why I wouldn't put it on the list. I mean, it's not like a worst of thing either.
No.
I mean, it's worth, you know, it's interesting. Apple, has had an iPad Pro for a little while. I think the thing that puts it a step beyond where it was before is iOS 11, right? There's some multitasking stuff that wasn't possible before, but it's a half step. It doesn't have everything it needs to be a true productivity machine. By the way, there are some really neat things about that device. And the one you have, you must have the latest version too, right? You have a 12.9 inch.
I have a 12.9, the latest.
Yeah, 12.9. So you know that the display technology in that thing is incredible.
It is incredible, yeah.
I don't know if you have the Pencil or whatever, but I don't use that kind of thing.
I have the Pencil. I don't use it.
No, I don't either. But the performance of that is amazing. It's amazing. And I've been using computer smart pens since the original tablet PC in 2002. And it's not fair to say it's better than the new Surface Pen, but they are neck and neck. I mean, they got that thing right on Gen 1, and that's astonishing.
And they did it with the pen and not the display.
Yes. It's amazing. That's the interesting thing. It's notably good.
So with the Surface, it's in the display.
Well, it's a little bit of both.
It's a little of both, but there's something in the display. On this, the majority of it is the pen.
Yeah, it's all the pen,
which is interesting. That's why I had it on the list because it is probably – it is a sweet spot. I think the 9.7-inch iPad is a little too small for me.
So,
but the 12 and the 12 whatever is a little too big. Like, this is too big for me to do anything on the bed.
Oh, yeah, that's
just
that's
have it on a desk.
If I could do this over again, I bought this because I was – well, I still need it. It's kind of like the reason I need the Mac. I need to review and understand where things are at and all that kind of stuff. So I guess I still kind of need this device. If I were just buying – if I wasn't doing this job – I think I would buy a 9.7-inch iPad because I just use it for reading the newspaper, reading audio or ebooks, reading, you know, pocket stories and things like that. And when I go on trips, I watch movies, you know, and it's good for all that stuff. Productivity, I can read email. I don't really respond to email too much on it, but I think that would have been fine. I used to use an iPad mini for those things. I still have it. I keep it around just in case. When I go on a trip, I'll throw some movies on it because there's some good storage there and you never know. But I find that screen a little small now. I'm getting used to the bigger size, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
But it's a little awkward.
That's what happens, right? You kind of adjust. And like Jess hated the new iPhone because it was too big. She bought the Plus and she's like, this thing is gigantic. Right. Now she loves it. It's absolutely perfect. I have a couple more things on this list, actually, Paul. But before we continue, I want to talk about our friends at Text Expander. Have you used it yet? Paul's running off. He has to do something. It's okay, Paul. You go and do something. So this is actually really cool. I got an email from the guys at Text Expander, and they were like, "Hey, listen, have you tried out our software?" And I have been using it for a little bit. And they ended up advertising with us. They're a sponsor of the show. But the way that it works, it's actually great. I'm going to give you a great example of what it does. Right. So let's say you go to a conference, because I know a lot of our audience is in media, they're in technology, they go to conferences, they're programmers. Let's say you go to a conference and you collected all these new contacts and you want to follow up with the people, because obviously that's why you're there. You could create a Text Expander snippet with the follow-up message that you want to add in there. And you just use the fill-in fields for the contact names and the custom topic. It blows away anything else that you would have done. It makes everything super, super quick. So here's one way that I actually use it. I use it for one of the people in my office to fill in a lot of our new clients. So we have like a little, you know, formula that we use, and we're using Text Expander to make it quicker when we're filling things up. So I have Text Expander running on my Mac here, and whenever I write a word, let's say X amount of times, it'll say, "Hey, Andrew, you use the word tomorrow a lot. Do you want this to be abbreviated? Do you want to have, you know, a keyword for this? Like, instead of tomorrow, if I did, you know, three T's, it would come up for tomorrow." I actually use that when I tweet now, because I deliver the same message all the time. So I've created, you know, let's say I'm doing GFQ1. If I put in GFQ1, it'll autofill the message. Or if I write, you know, WTT1, it'll autofill to What the Tech is Live message. This thing is awesome, and I highly, highly recommend you check it out. Obviously, there's a trial period. You could try it out with the trial period. TextExpander.com/podcast, and you get 20% off your first year of service. It's awesome. It's actually really, really cool. Paul, you might actually benefit really by, because I'm sure you type the same things every single day with the website. Yeah, over and over and literally. Over again. Literally. Yeah. If you can
I do think about this tool, actually.
Yeah, you should check it out. I'll send over an account. They actually they wanted to talk to you. I know that they're big fans of yours, so they're good guys. TextExpander.com/podcast. So let's go on with the end of this list. And I had the Amazon Echo on and I had all that on, but I don't want to talk about too much about that because I, even though it was a major year for this stuff, I'm keeping that on my worst of list.
Interesting.
I have a
I'm not sure I would put them on good or bad, but this year, these kind of assistants did kind of happen in a big way, right? And they're getting more sophisticated. And I think they're getting a little more inevitable, too. So, yeah, like I said, transitionary year. This is part of that.
We're going to go down the conspiracy rabbit hole tomorrow because we're going to drink next week on the show.
Okay.
Next week, we have to drink for this. This was mine. Paul has one left, and I have one left. And this is my top best of for 2017. And it's YouTube TV and Hulu TV. Essentially, the streaming TV services that came to light, you know, close to the end of last year, but got really strong in 2017. I cut cable. That's how much I'm in this ecosystem now. YouTube TV is my top pick for overall service quality for live content. There is nothing that comes close to the service quality. There's nothing that comes close to the video quality. It works great. It's just like watching YouTube. And obviously, it's a thing that you're familiar with. You know, you can kind of navigate. The other one, the only reason why I have Hulu TV on is because it integrates within Hulu, and I'm a big Hulu user, but YouTube TV is still not on devices other than the Chromecast, which I don't like using.
I think it's on Xbox.
Is it on Xbox?
I think that happened, but I know they delayed the release on, like, what Roku and Apple TV, maybe?
I know that they're in a big feud with Fire TV now.
Yeah. Sure.
Yeah. YouTube TV delays Apple TV and Roku until early 2018.
Yeah. I mean, it's going to happen, right? When I looked at this, that was the big problem. It was the lack of availability. Yeah, it is on Xbox One. So
it's on Xbox One, Android.
You can get
TV,
it to a TV using
has.
Chromecast or AirPlay, right? So if you have an Apple TV, you can do it through your phone, but that's not a very elegant way to watch TV.
Listen, most people have Fire TVs, right? Or they have Apple TVs.
Well, they'll have one of these things, right? I mean, I think most people probably have Roku
or
whatever, but they'll have one of them, whatever. It will support everything eventually. A couple of months from now, this isn't going to be a problem anymore.
So there was did you see a story about how YouTube is pulling the app from Fire TV?
Yeah.
So it just so happened that this week, Amazon Fire, the Fire TV now has Firefox.
Yep.
And it could access YouTube.
Of course. Yeah. There you go.
Yeah.
There's your workaround, although it's probably not particularly elegant.
It's probably, no, definitely not elegant. Yeah. But, you know, here's the thing. This is where we're headed now.
Yep.
This is what's going to change. Why do you need cable if you could get, you know, for a fraction of the cost and you get on three of your TVs and four of your TVs and not pay a set-top box fee every month, not pay all these taxes that you're normally paying with the TV service, not have to deal with any of that nonsense? I was paying almost $300 a month. Cable.
I agree with you on this. Not ironically, but coincidentally, you know, I tested a few of these things and we went back to cable TV, but that's a temporary condition. And literally as recently as lunch today, the TV was glitching really badly. Like it was like it would get kind of staticky or whatever that effect is. We watched a recorded show and it was kind of ruining the show. And I didn't want to unplug the thing and turn it back on because I'm thinking it takes 25 minutes to fully boot up. I want to watch a damn show. But I said to my wife, you know, if this thing comes up and it still doesn't work, we're canceling this today. Yeah. Like I can't take this anymore. And I would and would pick YouTube TV absolutely as the service I would use.
Oh, by the way, it does 1080p YouTube TV. That's the only service that does 1080p. Yeah.
Nice.
The best quality. I mean, by the way, I'm not just pulling this thing out of my ass by saying that.
Oh, no,
the
no.
Best.
It's definitely the best one.
I've been doing this for a year now. I've been testing. Tested every. I got Sony View. I got DirecTV Now. I got Hulu TV and I got YouTube TV. I've tested out all of them. And these are my top picks. And Hulu by default because it's on the TV. But in reality, for quality, YouTube TV, 130%. Paul, your pick. Your last pick.
Well, 2017 was a monster year for Xbox, and there's a lot to talk about there. They have incredible, you know, cross-play capabilities with Xbox Play Anywhere between, you know, Windows devices, Windows PCs, and Xbox consoles, and so forth. But there are two things that obviously stand out. One is the Xbox One X, the first true 4K console. As I've said in the past, you know, just getting this console will make every single game you already own look better in some way, or look or play better, or both. Some games are being specifically enhanced for the console to take advantage of its enhanced performance and other functionality. Some aren't, but it doesn't matter. Every single thing that you put on this thing will be better. I've never seen such a clear-cut case for an upgrade as with this thing. But the hidden gem in the Xbox world is something called Xbox Game Pass. It's only $10 a month, and you get there's the dog, in case you thought I was kidding. You gain access to, I don't know what the number is now, but they're adding games every month. So last time I checked, it was over 100 games. But you get some collection of games which you can download to your device and just use. And this, I think, is a half step to the future of Xbox, which is going to be just full-blown game streaming subscription service, but to any device without the need for special hardware. But the way it works today is you don't ever have to buy a game again. I mean, obviously, it's kind of like Netflix or versus, you know, renting movies. Like, sometimes you want something really specific. And if you play like Call of Duty every year or whatever, you're going to want to buy that game. I mean, there's no way around it. It's $60. That's what it is. But if you're a different kind of gamer, or if you like different kinds of games, for $10 a month, this thing gives you access to an incredible range of games and game types. It's a great way to sample what's out there or to augment what you're already buying because you know you want those particular titles, much like you might buy some movies and still use Netflix on the side. It's unheralded in many ways. I mean, I've written about it, but I don't feel like it's gotten the attention it deserves. And it's something everyone who owns an Xbox One should try. In fact, you can get the first month for $1 right now if you wanted to sign up for it and try it. You could download as many games as your hard drive will hold and play them for the entire month. No limits, no special requirements, no nothing. I mean, it's incredible.
Yeah, it really is. Would you say that this is – what would you say is going to be the big – if you were to predict the big holiday tech item this year?
Oh, boy.
From what you've seen.
Yeah, tech item. I mean, yeah. I don't think there is any one I think Nintendo Switch is going to be huge this year.
Interesting.
I think consoles across the board. PlayStation and Xbox just had their best-selling – sales month for this console generation ever, both of them. And this is on the heels of Nintendo announcing that they've already sold, I think it was 10 or 11 million, whatever the figure was, of the Switch in just 9 months. I think video games are going gangbusters. So I think that's, you know, part of it. I don't know that people buy phones as gifts, right? I mean, I think this has been a tremendous fall or a tremendous year for smartphones. I mean, will those be considered Christmas presents or holiday gifts? You know, I don't know. I would never give someone a phone as a gift, but maybe, you know, I don't think tablets are going anywhere special. That said, Apple's 9.7 inch iPad is cheap for iPads. I mean, they might sell some of those. I think you're going to see a lot of those digital assistants under the tree. You know, as Amazon Echo Dot doesn't have very good sound quality or whatever, but it's super cheap. I think it's what, $29, $39, whatever it is.
Very cheap.
Google Home Mini is in the same price range. Google and Amazon both make nicer speakers with better sound quality, including all the way up to the Google Home Max, which I don't think anyone's going to buy, but whatever, it's beautiful. Xbox One S is a tremendous bargain. I already said consoles, but I mean, I talked about a $500 4K console. The Xbox One S is a sub $200 console that does like 90% of what the Xbox One X does. It's a tremendous value. I don't know. What do you think? I mean, what do you, I mean, the Rokus and Fire TVs will probably be big.
Well, I think the Fire, you know what's funny? I think the Apple TV 4K will be big because they're on Amazon now, and I believe they're sold out. Already.
And those, by the way, we should have mentioned that as part of the best of the year. We ding Apple a lot because it's fun and because they deserve it. But one of the things they did this year that I thought was super cool was they released that thing. And they gave everyone free upgrades to 4K content. And that is incredible. And not every day, I don't know how often these things are added, but very often new movies will come on board. So if you bought stuff in the past, we have hundreds of movies that we purchased through iTunes. So we're getting upgrades all the time. And one of the things I just saw was that the James Bond movies, which I own all of because I'm a nerd, every one of those has been upgraded to 4K. And so that's wonderful. I'm going to watch every single one of them again, you know, and they don't charge you for it.
Yeah.
That was
a big move by them.
Well, I expected them to charge. I mean, and I would have paid. I would have looked at the list and said, okay, I'm going to do the Ridley Scott movies. I'm definitely going to do, whatever. They just gave it away for free.
Yeah. Which beautiful. Was the right thing to do.
Yeah.
I'm going to say those dots are going to be big.
Yeah.
I got a Google TV. I'm sorry, a Google Home last year, sitting right there. I use it four times.
Well, we're gonna change that.
I get paranoid and I disconnect it every now and then when I'm having like a serious conversation.
Sure.
About bad things.
Okay.
No, I don't have a reason to use it other than, hey Google, play some music.
It hurt me. By the way,
hey Google, stop.
Yeah, it's fair to say in my own house, my wife and daughter use it a lot, and it's almost always for music. But I hear you can ask it questions. You can ask it for a news report. Let me think about this. It's funny. More often than not, the one that's in the kitchen, I actually use it as a Chromecast. So I'll actually play like an audiobook from my phone to that device so I can go out through the speaker while I'm doing the dishes or doing, making breakfast or whatever. Okay. Like I said, though, this stuff's going to change. Remember, as these things get more sophisticated, and you could have not just conversations, but kind of scripted events, right? Where you're not just giving it a command. You're giving it a command that fires off five things in a row.
Yeah, it understands. Yeah.
It gets very sophisticated. Well, I think that's going to be something to watch for next year as well.
If I could tie it into the studio, that'd be awesome. Like if I could tell it to turn on all the lights in the studio. But would require me to, actually get a setup that works with that.
So you may remember this. It's funny because I never actually used it. When we were back in Dedham and you came and you helped me set up the studio, we had one of those.
Yeah. And we set it up.
Yeah. I didn't really use it for anything. But it's just like a little plug. I think it's like iHome something or iHome. Maybe that's the name of the company. You just plug it into the plug and then you plug your stuff into that. And that turns that into a smart plug, right? So you don't have to like rewire your house or, buy expensive stuff. I mean, it's a little unsightly in a sense, but you could, and Brad does this. I think Brad still does this. He can walk in and say, studio lights on or whatever. And it turns on all the lights. Yeah. Like he has, it's a script or whatever,
The matter of doing it,
Yeah.
Getting the stuff and doing it. My prediction is going to be, those cheap Amazon tablets, the Dot, the Switch, Xbox.
Yep.
Apple TV. That's my big hit items for this year. Paul, we got to wrap it up.
Yeah.
We got to wrap it up.
All right, next week we're going to do worst of, is that right?
Yeah, the one that everybody wants.
I got to go through my whole year on my site again. I did it once to look for Microsoft stuff, but I want to go back.
Every year. Can we make this, maybe we could talk to people where you don't have to have a meeting next week?
I don't think we're going to have a meeting next week, be honest. I'll quietly.
This will be the director's cut version.
Yeah, I can't imagine the week of Christmas they would have a meeting.
Yeah, next week. Next week it'll be a lot of fun. We'll do our worst of, which there was a lot of bad this year.
Oh, yeah.
With the good.
Yeah, 2017 was.
Listen, I got a job. I got a job now, Paul. That's how bad life is.
Sorry.
All right, guys. For all things Paul, go to therot.com. Guys, help us out. Fund us. Patreon.com/whatthetech. We're changing the payment plan to once a month rather than whatever they've done recently. They broke something. So if you guys want to fund us, you could go there and fund us there. Patreon.com/whatthetech. You got to go now, right?
Yeah. What time okay. is it? Yeah, I got to go.
All right, so I'll hang out for a little bit. I'll hang out for a couple minutes. I'll give everybody a little update, and then I'll get out of here. But Paul, thank you. I'll see you.
Yeah, thank you. I'll talk to you. Well, have a great Christmas, obviously. If I don't speak to you, but we'll probably
you too. Yeah, we'll talk.
We'll interact.
That's it this week. Bye bye.